Chapter 1. Off the Wall, 1979. I'm interested in making a path instead of following a trail, and that's what I want to do in life, and everything I do. Michael Jackson, Ebony, 1979. Off the Wall did for R&B what the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds did for rock. It was a turning point, a sonic revelation, a distillation of an era and mood. Music critic Rob Sheffield called it the record that invented modern pop as we know it. While it doesn't explore the full range of themes Jackson would take on in subsequent albums, Off the Wall perfectly captures the exhilaration and energy, the pent-up desires and ambition of its creator. It represents a moment when everything still seemed ripe with possibility. Many critics and listeners alike now consider it the purest expression of Jackson's genius. Due to the seismic cultural impact of Thriller, it is often forgotten that in 1981, its predecessor became the best-selling album ever by a black artist. It would chart an unprecedented 4 Billboard Top 10 hits, 2 of which reached number 1. Perhaps more important, it was the album that effectively transitioned Michael Jackson from child star to mature solo artist. Before its release, the popular image of Jackson was still as the 10-year-old prodigy of the early Jackson 5. After Off the Wall, there was no mistaking it. Michael Jackson, the then Prince of Pop, had arrived. He was 21 years old. Disco Fever. In the late 70s, America found itself in a rut. It wasn't just the recession or the Iranian hostage crisis or the energy crisis. It was a general sense of malaise. President Jimmy Carter described it as a crisis of confidence. "It is a crisis," claimed Carter in his famous 1979 speech, "that strikes at the very heart and soul and spirit of our national will. We can see this crisis in the growing doubt about the meaning of our own lives and in the loss of a unity of purpose for our nation. The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and the political fabric of America." It is easy to see the appeal of disco in this context. Many Americans were looking for an escape, and that's what disco provided. Michael Jackson marveled at its impact for precisely this reason. "I think that's the psychological reason for the disco craze," he told Jet. "You get to be that dream you want to be. You just go crazy with the lights and the music, and you're in another world." Emerging out of the New York City nightlife in the mid-1970s, disco was created by African-American and Latino musicians as a kind of hybrid of R&B, funk, and electronic dance music. The sound was characterized by both its extravagance, not only in terms of its lavish sound, but also its flamboyant styles, and its simplicity, its trademark 4-on-the-floor beat and easy-to-learn dance moves. Disco clubs exploded in the mid to late 70s as songs like Van McCoy's The Hustle and Donna Summer's Love to Love You Baby surged up the charts. In the early days, it was particularly popular among urban LGBTQ communities. Notably, many of the genre's biggest stars were women of color, including Donna Summer, Gloria Gaynor, and Chaka Khan. Within a few short years, disco went from underground subculture to global phenomenon. It was the era of Chic, Sylvester, and the Village People. In 1977, Saturday Night Fever, starring John Travolta and featuring the music of the Bee Gees, became the best-selling soundtrack in music history. Jackson was taking notes. Not only was he a huge fan of the Bee Gees, he liked the idea of making music visual. He told those around him that his goal was to make a similar multimedia album that sold even more. Meanwhile, Studio 54 in Midtown Manhattan became the most famous disco club in America, attracting A-list celebrities while generating endless stories of excess and hedonism. Jackson was also taking notes on this. In fact, he was literally there, both during and after the shooting of The Wiz, voyeuristically watching the activities like Nick Carraway at Jay Gatsby's parties. At the time, Jackson was still a devout Jehovah's Witness and wary of licentiousness, given both his conservative religious teachings and his life experiences to that point. But he was fascinated by the costumes and theatrics and glamour.